Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Chúc mừng năm mới. Happy New Year. You got that right? It's such a joy to be in a noisy church. It's life, amen? Years ago, I used to preach in a nursing home, and an old fella tell me one time, he goes, "Oh, you know what I really miss? I really miss just hearing children cry, you know? Amen. So sterile, and amen, it's good."
Yes, sir.
In Vietnam, the church, the official church, the one that's registered and legal, the Buddhist backed cultures typically do not show emotion because emotion is weakness, and that spills over, of course, into the people in the church. So it's very very quiet. It's all, you know, there could be 1,000 people in a room this size, and they won't make a peep. They don't. Sometimes you sit there just, amen, amen, it's good, and, it's just, it's okay to like live and,
amen.
You know, and have an amen if it's appropriate. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I miss you guys. I miss your fellowship. I miss good haircut. My daughter makes me wear whiskers for a little while because, gee, Dad, you look like a, she almost said a distinguished old man, but she said, "You look like a distinguished old man trying to grow a beard." So, I don't really like it. It's going to come off soon, but praise the Lord. It's okay. We had a great, great Christmas. Had all of our daughters, and two of them are married with their husbands, and three grandchildren now. It's good. You know, it's fun.
Yep.
It's kind of like I remember watching the old folks before when I was a kid, watching them. What did they do at Christmas? Now it's me. I understand. It's good. Praise the Lord. I miss your pastor. I've got big plans for him. We're going to have a missions. He's like an 8-cylinder in a 4-cylinder world. You know what I mean? He's a real refreshing person. I like the way he thinks. I like the way you write. Very interesting. He's very witty. He's very knowledgeable. Very good. We're going to have I'm going to try to bring some Vietnamese over this spring. Just give you a little update, and then we'll get to the message. If you want to go to Psalms 8, we'll be there, and then Matthew 21 also. While you go there, Psalm 8 and Matthew 21, I'll talk a little bit. But in April, it's got to be a little warmer than typical winter because Vietnamese don't handle, you know,
yeah.
April will be cold for them. They will be cold. They literally wear my snowsuit and pile like 8 blankets on them when they go to bed. But I want to bring some of those guys over. We want to have Vietnam Day up in a local church in Niagara County, Pastor Beam, Dixon Beam. I want to have you come and be one of the speakers. I'd actually like to have you close. So you have a very good skill of taking it all in. And you can finish well. Plus, you know where we're coming from before we started. Pastor Asquith is on board. And that really gives me comfort because I feel like I'm in a biblical safe zone.
Amen.
You know, so I'm glad about that. And I was telling Brother Taylor, I think next to God and maybe even John Asquith, he's the most popular person in this town, Brother Taylor. I hear a lot about him, and I feel sort of strange that I'm on the 11 o'clock hour, but I will praise God anyway, you know, amen. It's all good. There's an immense amount of strength available I'm talking about spiritual strength. And that, by the way, when it begins in the spiritual strength, it spills over into your emotional and your physical strength as well. There's a lot of strength available that we're not using that we could use. I have a holiday assignment. So you want to pay attention for 1 minute. You want to tune out, I'm going to tune back in at the end. This is your assignment. And this isn't, you don't have to go to Walmart. You don't have to go to the mall. You don't have to go to any internet site. You don't have to spend any money, right? You don't even have to do any homework. You don't have to prepare. You don't have to clean your house. You don't have to do anything like that. This is a really easy assignment. This holiday season, Christmas, New Year, this is the time of year. In Vietnam, it's the Tet season, the Lunar New Year, where they all get together for a week or so. And it's in Vietnam, there's a lot of drinking and stuff. But, you know, hey, eggnog or whatever, cookies, you know, all good stuff. But this is the time of year when typically we meet people we don't often meet. We might, it's that relative we see once a year. Or, you know, like my uncle, I saw my cousin, I hadn't seen him in 45 years. We decided that we would start seeing each other before we had to view each other. Because it's that time, you know? Just this year, and right now, maybe even today, maybe over the new year, it's too late exactly for Christmas Day, but it's still in the season. This is your assignment. I want you to give God glory publicly. I want you to thank God. I want you to some way find a way to praise God to your friends and your family. That's all. Now we're gonna, it gets easier. I don't like assignments. And when I talk about like, you gotta witness to your relatives. How many of you like witnessing? Aren't relatives tough?
Yeah.
Because as soon as you start to talk about, well, I remember when you, oh no, you know, they remember that time when you were 8 and they, you know, they hold that. Or they know this or that or something like that. We're going to make it easy. Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. Psalm chapter 8. Verse number 2, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Father, I pray that you would bless our time together, give us ears to hear. Lord, I need clarity of speech. Help me to communicate things that were so clear that you told me. Lord, I pray that it would just go well and it would be a good assignment. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I had you go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. Jesus will be quoting that psalm that we just read. And he quotes it a little bit differently. I think it's okay, though, right? He's not writing a new version.
Amen.
He could. He did author it. I mean, the author has the liberty to do that. But he's, as is often from the Old Testament, there's something a little bit different. And it just defines it for us. It's clearer this way. Verse 16, Matthew 21, verse 16. And said unto him, hearest thou what these say? Jesus is speaking. And Jesus saith unto them, or they were speaking to him. Jesus saith, unto them, yea, have ye never read? Don't you like that? Are you kidding me? That's all these people did. They were like the Alex Trebek Jeopardy champions for Bible questions. Have you never read? But they didn't really read it. They read it the way some of you read it. Just to get it done. Or just to reinforce what they already thought it should say. They never really read it, took it to heart.
Amen.
What is God really saying? out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. What happened to ordained strength? Well, the two meet together.
Amen.
With praise. I have a friend, George, actually, he met these Russian guys seeking asylum. They were Christians. This was a few years ago. And these Russian guys told George that they would get beat with sticks by the police every day. And the police were so frustrated with them because they wouldn't recant, they wouldn't give up their property of the churches that they owned, and they wouldn't disperse and so on. And they'd hang them up and they'd beat them. And the Russian guy says they were, you know, what was the, why were they frustrated with you? He goes, no, not that we weren't Christians. It's that the more they beat us, the more happier and joyful and stronger we became. Because we learned early on, like when they took that stick and whacked us in the back with that stick and stuck it in places they shouldn't be sticking sticks, we praised God. With the last breath we had, we just found a way. We thank God, and they'd hit us again. We'd thank God more, and we'd feel better. We got more and more stronger, and they thought we would be more and more weaker. Because when we praise God, God gives us strength.
Amen.
We're made for that purpose. He's created us, every cell in our body. The sum total of all this is to praise God. What happens when we get older? But even babes know that. He's even designed youngins and even old people and Hannibal people and Black Creek people and even Allegheny County people. People who live down in Pennsylvania. They can do it too, amen? They can praise God. It's good. So that's our title. Let's go to the first point. Here's why. Matthew 28. Again, your assignment is to praise God. Matthew 28, verse 10. I preached this last Sunday, and then as soon as I was done, I think it was God, I don't know, maybe it was me, I'm not sure, but, this fits Black Creek, this will work. A lot of churches, I think they would just look at me like more stranger than they look at me here, but they would really get it here, because you get it, you understand, and it builds on something you already have. Matthew 28, verse 10. Now, you got to understand what's happening here in this context. Jesus has been crucified. The leader, these guys that followed him, the disciples, and then there was the apostles, that the ones he chose, he called them his apostles, he called them out, and they followed him around for, three some years, right? I mean, he was their life. And he's crucified. And they scattered. They all forsook him. And they're all, can you just imagine the state of mind they're in? Do you think shopping Christmas Eve is confusing and not so? This is really, it's difficult for them. And the resurrected Christ appears. In verse 10, Matthew 28, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Galilee. Well, around here, this is around Jerusalem. This is just outside of Jerusalem. Galilee is way up there. And that's a pretty fair trek up to Galilee, isn't it? They're way down, they're down south. And he says, go up north. Why? Well, for most of them, Galilee is their home. Capernaum, that's where Peter and Andrew had a house. It was their home. It was his home base for most of the time. My first point is this holiday season, go home. That's a pretty easy point, right? Just go home. Some of you are home. Well, I'm glad. Go home. Well, why? Why? What's the, well, the open gifts and stuff? But you understand. You go home, if you can praise God, you're going to help. See, other people are going to go home. When a person's hurt, when they're wounded, when they're sick, when their heart is bleeding, when they're hurt, you know what they want to do? They want to go home.
Amen.
I know what I get sick sometimes. I get to Vietnam, so I get this amoebic dysentery. I'm susceptible to it. It goes in through my ears, apparently. I don't know. All the water, you know, I can't also wear a shower with a cat. I really shouldn't be swimming with the kids in the green living water, you know. You could walk on that water, you know. But I get sick, and when I get sick, you know what? I want to just go home. I really don't want to go to a Vietnamese hospital again. I just want to go home. My wife will take care of me. You know, it's just comfortable. Go home this holiday season. The other people that are coming to your house or coming to where you are, they're hurting.
Amen.
You're going to be the most equipped person there to help them. Do you realize that? That is if you're a born-again child of God. Amen. You say, I really don't even like meeting those people. You know, we give the fake hug, I love you, brother. Yeah, I see you at the funeral or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. But hey, you realize that God's giving you an opportunity because they're coming and they're looking, you know, they're hungrier than you are. You know, not Uncle So-and-so, he's a real bozo, he's arrogant and so on. Under all that junk, he's afraid. Don't you know he's afraid? And you have the only medicine, you have the gospel. Let's roll off you say. You have what it takes to help him. Well, he just doesn't. Well, here, let me help you administer the gospel to him. Go home and just give thanks to God. Don't go home and get in his face. You don't have to scream at him. Just find a place, find a time to give thanks. Amen? That's it. You say, well, I you know, we'll talk about that later, but we really don't need to. Just go home. First, go home and meet them. Don't stay in. It's not a lot easier just to order a pizza, watch a football game in the comfort of your own living room. Go to where they are because you can help them. Number two, we got to go to Mark chapter 5 for this one. Mark chapter 5. This is the story, we call him the maniac of the Gadareans or maniac of Gadara. What do you know about this fella? Well, he was naked. He was a crazy guy. He's probably, you know, you would think he would be in rehab or some treatment, but he was just a demon-possessed guy, cutting himself, screaming, superhuman strength, living among with the dead and all kinds of stuff, just not the kind of guy you want to have move in next to you, you know, and just not the kind of neighbor you want to have around there. What a scene, you know. Jesus meets him, and he, if I can use the word, he's saved. And then he has a question for Jesus. Look at verse 18. Mark chapter 5, verse 18. When Jesus, was coming to the ship, he's about to leave now. He's done the deviled swine or deviled ham thing and all that stuff. He that had been possessed with the devil, called himself Legion, there were so many, he prayed him that he might be with him. Isn't this like the Baptist pastor's dream? Even the missionary too. Oh, I'm saved. Wow. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm clothed, I'm in my right mind, I'm speaking, I'm listening, I'm a good citizen now. Can I want to follow you. I want to go to I want to go to Watsamata U where you went. I want to tithe to your church, and I want to be a deacon, and I want to be, you know, I want to like sit at your feet and learn. And Jesus said, no. No. Really, you wouldn't. Where I go, the people that I go with, they wouldn't understand. It's not a good fit. The Jews are kind of funny about that. And I'm heading back over that away. And I tell you what you do, though. This is tough. But I want you to, well, let's just read it. Verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. He didn't allow him. But saith unto him, get this. This is our crux of the missions book. By the way, I brought that copy. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. If I told you, go home, because some of you are, maybe you're not exactly like this, but in our standing with God, we were like this man. We were among the tomb. We were among the dead. You know what I'm saying? You might have not been a screaming, naked, wild banshee, but you were lost. You were outside of God's plan. Some of you were. You know, some of you were worse than this guy. You know? Whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, God was there and you're not there.
Amen.
And now you and God are there. You know, you're there. Go home and tell them what great things the Lord has done for thee. But I said, go home and witness to your family. We have this thing. Now, this is my background. I think for some of you it's the same. Did he say go to witness? Go witness. My first thing is fear. And some of you, Brother Dale, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, I got to bring another guy. We got to knock on the door, right? And the other guy's got to kind of slip. You got to have that phrase so you get your foot in the door so you can get in, right? You got to have that right phrase, right? And you got to have your partner kind of slip in and block the TV,
yeah.
Take care of the dog, and feed the baby a bottle and everything. Keep them busy, you know. Keep all of it. Well, I can kind of corner this fella, and you know. I gotta bring my Black New Testament. Oh, I left it in the car, you know. I gotta take my breath mints. And I gotta run. And you're in Romans running. Is it 13:10 or 13:13? All right, you believe, you know. Wait a minute, you can't make it. I gotta pray. See? And you got off. And then you know. What do you want me to say to get you out of my house? You know, okay. And then they pray, oh, I was a good witness, right? You both are exhausted. You both just want to go home, right? Okay, let's meet the other team at the donut shop and talk about the 8 guys we led to the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he had 7 family members. So, you know, I'm sure he passed it on, right? We left him a track, you know. We get this funny feeling. We're gonna meet our relatives and we're gonna witness to them. My hands get like clammy. The hair in my back and my neck doesn't feel like it's sitting down. I feel like kind of weak-kneed. And okay, it's my assignment. We sit around the Christmas dinner and the Thanksgiving dinner. There's a quiet moment. Everyone's eating. They got some food in their mouth. I'm going to look at my poor old Aunt Sally, and she is going to hell. And I'm going to look at her, and I'm going to witness to her. Aunt Sally, pass the potatoes, and you're going to hell! And the gravy, too. Right? Because, I don't know. Well, can I just give you... Are you telling the truth? Yeah, you're telling the truth, but maybe you could just do it the Bible way. Jesus didn't tell them to get in their faces, or he just said this, testify. Tell them what great things the Lord hath done.
Amen.
Oh, Aunt Sally. We do this. Aunt Sally, let's talk church. Let's compare churches. You know, and I'll tell you how lousy your church is and how wonderful our church is and how stupid you are to keep going there, right? Or we'll start talking about politics. You know? You say, oh, hey, I like, your hair could be Donald Trump's hair. You have that shrilly Hillary Clinton voice, too. And, you know, you can go, you can get in the mud and all that stuff. And at the end, you're going to say, oh, yeah, thank God I can vote. Oh, that's kind of weak. When you look back over the past year, or even over your life, can you give thanks for something? If you can't give thanks, maybe you're being honest. Maybe it's because you're not saved. You don't know the forgiveness that God gives. You can't forgive others. You just full of bitterness and hate and envy. Amen. And you didn't get what you wanted on Christmas and so on and so forth. And, you know, I hate doing this. I hate wearing these clothes. I hate going to this guy's house. Mumble and grumble and so on and so forth. Can you give thanks for something? Aren't you glad you can sit up? Aren't you glad you're on this side of the turf? You can walk by faith another day. You can see children and you can hear them laughing and crying. I see my parents, seeing great-grandchildren. I'm somewhere in the link, amen? Isn't that good? This is a good thing. I'm seeing God's working. Maybe you do something like this, instead of like getting all like funny and like blurting out something stupid. So, and can I give thanks? Can I say grace for you? Can I give thanks for the dinner? And just thank God. Thank God for the people that are there. I'm so glad Aunt Sally, God, you gave her the strength to be with us this year. Amen. So glad that we could do this. And Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for giving us another day. And that's it. You don't have to, look at, when it's time to pray for, the roast beef is there, and everybody's hungry, and the potatoes and all that stuff, and they just want to eat, don't torture them. Make it short, right? But you can give thanks. Thank God for that roast beef. Oh, it smells so good. And Kimmelwick rolls. And I think there's horseradish sauce over there. Oh, you know, everybody's going. Just can you give thanks? Is that hard to do? So we're going to cover some of the other excuses in a minute here. It's real easy. Look at, if you were less crazy than this man, or even if you were, and now you're in your right mind. He went back, and it says in Luke that he published throughout all the region the great things God had done for him. Maybe you could just tell your friends and family. Amen? What a concept. And it's right, it's just there. We say, oh, brother, some people, they have big issues. I know. Refer them to Pastor Asquith. Amen? Like, it's okay. Well, it's okay to say, I don't know. I want to tell you on that. It's okay to say, I don't know. Have them make an appointment. One fellow came and he was terrified. I think this was last year. He was terrified of Santa. Did you get him? Did he visit you? Pastor Asquith said, well, I can handle that. He has claustrophobia. Santa Claus. Get it? Claustrophobia. Okay. It's John chapter 9. John chapter 9. You can do this. I love this text. The more I learn, the more I'm like this guy. He was blind. Jesus restored his sight. And the religious, the muckety mucks, said, hey, they went to his parents. Yeah, you know, I'm not sure he followed our, he didn't follow the order in the bulletin. You know, he's out of order. This wasn't part of our plan. And they asked his parents says, well, I don't know. He's old enough. Go ask him. Don't bother us. We've got our assigned seat there in the pew. We don't want to lose it. You know, we're long-standing people here, you know, and all that stuff. And they come to him and they keep asking him. In chapter 9, verse 25, he, the blind man who now has sight, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner, speaking of Jesus, because they were saying, he must be a sinner. Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But I don't know. One thing I know, and this is something you can say, that whereas I was blind, now I see.
Amen.
I don't know about all those things you're talking about. I don't know about, you know, those long religious words and this stuff. And this is what I know. I was lost.
Yeah.
Now I'm found.
Right.
I was blind. Now I can. You say that? Could you say that? Could you just tell Aunt Sally? Aunt Sally, you know, you asked me about what we do here. Here's what I know. I was lost. My heart was empty. I felt unforgiven because I was. Now I'm saved. I feel the love of God, forgiveness of God. God's promised me new life. I believe Him. I was lost. Now I'm saved. Aunt Sally, I have to thank God for what God is doing in my life. Thank for what He's done. I'm thankful for things He's going to do. I don't know what they are yet, but it's going to be great. Well, you have one more excuse. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're going to take care of that last excuse. Oh, before I forget, I kind of take a little break, a little commercial break. If you need some greeting cards, check out that little picnic basket over there. You can help. This is our new thing for missions. We're helping them help themselves. No longer do I give cash to girls to stay and be counselors at the New Life Center. We used to do that. They would graduate, and after a couple years as counselors, we didn't really want them to go, because you have a high turnover. It's a college dorm. So about the time they get saved and they learn something, they move out. They graduate and move out. Two girls in particular we wanted to stay. They're really great, like den mothers, disciplers. And for the last 2 years, I've been buying their room and board. And also for other girls, instead of staying at the New Life Center and paying the 90 cents a day it takes for them to stay there, they could go out and all around this is these beer gardens. I'll get back to the message in a minute, but all around it is beer gardens. And they can work for about 60 cents an hour pitching beer. But that's not good. Amen? That's not what we want them to be. That's not where we want our kids to go. You wouldn't want your kids doing that. There's nothing good there. They can make more money making cards in the safety of their dormitory. And now we got this old VQ woman, kind of like the drill sergeant, holds them to quality standards. Those are really excellent cards. So it's a win-win for everybody, okay? So anyway, that's enough of that. One more last pitch. If you want to be a reseller of these, some people resell them for $8. If you want to buy them from me wholesale and resell them, see me afterwards, okay? I don't want to make this a den of thieves, but let's, we can move to the next level and get them, instead of just waiting for money, they can earn it.
Amen.
They can keep it, and they can expand. They can learn about many good things. So praise the Lord. Anyway, one more excuse. Well, brother, you don't know, my testimony is not very good. I don't have a very good Christian. I don't say anything because people know really my testimony. John chapter 4, verse 28. And the woman then left her water pot. What do you know about this woman? Would you say she has a strong Christian witness? She's not. She's a lady not respected at all in the town. They know about her. She's a lady that's been around the block a couple times. Amen? And yet, she's so excited. Her job was to fetch water, which is kind of on the low. It's kind of low work. It's a midday, it's hot. She's off the well outside of town. She first wanted to argue about whose water it is, but she's so excited to meet Jesus, she left her water pot. And she went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" "I think it is. I've met men before, but I've never met a man like this. I've never come back to town and say, 'Come see a man.' In fact, you know the men I usually bring around. Come see a man." And it's just so good. She did not have a good reputation, but she still did what she could. She still opened her mouth. She invited them. All right? It says of this, many of the Samaritans believed on him for the saying of the woman. And then later in verse 41, many more believed because of his own word. They saw Christ, and it was all because the woman went back to town. She went home, and she said something. Maybe you could say this. Come see a man preach the word of God. If that's all you can do, then let's do it. Come, and don't you love to be a blessing to other people? Don't you love to help people? Look, I like helping people. Isn't it more blessed to give than receive? Isn't it? If you just went through Christmas and you got kids, isn't it great? Isn't it worth it? You're mumbling all through December, and then they tear into it, you know. They love the box more than your gift, but they're happy, amen? They like it. It's good. Isn't it good to witness to the people that you prayed for? Isn't it good to tell them? So I got, you know, we've gone to soul winning classes. I don't know how many, I still, you know, where you got to know. First we start in Romans 3:10, right? Then maybe we go to Romans 5:8. Help me out, Dale, right? And the whole deal isn't so much soul winning, it's more manipulating, right? And because we're looking for a certain result, and that result is a certain word or prayer or something. Dale calls it the death prayer, you know, inoculate them from the real truth, you know. But it's, instead of like, oh, I'm freaking out, I just, man, I get all funny. Can you do this? Can you just give thanks? Not, don't be a bozo. Don't be a clown. Don't be obnoxious. I mean, if those are the only people you're with, then be obnoxious. If that's how you reach them, then you can do that. But, you know, you with family, they already think you're nuts and wacko, right? You could just be there fully clothed and in your right mind and say, "Oh, I just, well, God gave me a great year. Yeah, I'm alive." Amen? We got a lot of good blessings. I was able to sing praise to God. I was able to pretend I could worship him with some money and with some my time and my talent and my treasure. And God just poured it back on me. He doesn't owe me a cent. God has been good. You can do that. Do you understand your assignment? Testify, thank God, praise God. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Say grace at dinner. You know, there's a right way. I was witnessing to my boss, engineer. I'm closing. His name was Andy. And in walked the cleaner. That we were talking late at the office. And in walked the cleaner. And it was Glenn Carter. And Glenn went to my church. I thought, oh, Glenn. I called Glenn over. "Hey, Glenn, I'm telling Andy about the Lord." And Andy, I was thinking, all right, Glenn's going to chime in and he's going to say, you know, yeah, that's right.
God did that for me too. Instead, Glenn chimed in and said, what did he say? He started talking about the Illuminati. You know who the Illuminati are? Well, Andy didn't either, but Glenn proceeded to tell us all about the Illuminati and how they're really running the world. Maybe you believe the Illuminati. Well, that's fine, but when you're with your family today and tomorrow and next week, maybe tell them to read your book about it. Thank God instead.
Yeah.
Stay on point. Amen? Amen. Stay on the subject. Just do that. And may I say this too, if you're a seasoned citizen or you're a little older, don't leave your, you want to be cruel to your children? Leave them guessing that you're saved or not. Don't you hate that? You could die tomorrow. And then what will your children, you ever see the torment of the children? Because they're not saved. Or maybe they were saved. I don't know. Then you search for, they search for somebody that had met them, that maybe there's some hope. But just be honest with them. I'm saved. Or Doug's not here. I'm not saved, you know. Be honest. At least we know. One way you can be kind is pass on that gift to your children and be a blessing to them is to thank God in their presence. My dad, my mother, they loved God and they were thankful. That's, if that's all that they are, that's good. Maybe you've just been afraid. Look at point one. Go home. For your sake, but for their sake. You're the strongest person there because you're praising God.
Amen.
You realize that? You go home and meet them because maybe they're actually looking in their heart. There's a time in their life when they're searching. They want an answer. They need comfort. Go home. Meet them there. Tell them what great things God has done. Everybody understand the assignment? Okay, if you're willing to accept this assignment, because it's 5 to 12 and I've got to quit. 5 to 12. If you're willing to accept this assignment, say so with a hearty amen.
Amen.
Oh, some of you are still holding out. I can't think of any other excuse. The dog can't eat your assignment. I'm too busy. No, you're going to be with him anyway. Some of you are going to travel for a long ways. Why don't you make it interesting? One more time. I accept this assignment with a hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sounds good. I love you guys. Listen.